Well, it was totally unexpected. He had a heart attack and he didn't complain the week before or anything, but he was being a bit odd to me and just with things that he was saying to me. And I just thought, oh, that's a bit odd. But I just thought, oh, no, I'll let him be. And then because he died on Easter Saturday, I thought, oh, after Easter, I'll ask him what he means by everything. And, well, that never happened. He died on Easter Saturday. He had a heart attack and couldn't be revived.
And so, really, completely out of the blue, a bolt out of the blue.
Out of the blue, absolutely out of the blue. I was just, like, so shocked. I just couldn't even comprehend that they were telling me it was my Mick, my husband. Just, and I was then also trying to comprehend it, but also really worried about how I was going to tell the kids.
How old were your kids?
Well, Chloe was 14, Alex was 15, and Jared was 25. Mm. So I thought, how am I going to tell these girls? Really, I thought, you know, and I was just so shocked that, you know, when it comes down to it, there's really no easy way to tell the children. And my concern was with the children that I had to tell them we were going to be okay. And even if I didn't know how, what, or anything, I just wanted to reassure them.
And I guess being in that position, on the one hand, it might be helpful because you're forced to try to keep yourself together. But on the other hand, it doesn't give you the opportunity to grieve really either. You need someone looking after you too.
Well, that's right. But I didn't want to fall in a total heap. I didn't want them to think they had to look after me because I'm their mother. And so I didn't want them to take the role. But I allowed myself to grieve in front of them because I wanted them to understand and know what they're feeling, or if they're crying or anything that's going on, that that's normal. That's part of grief, because I thought it was important that they understand. Even if, like, I was unmotivated, I'd tell them I was unmotivated. And they would tell me they were unmotivated too. And so that was, like, a good way I could talk to them more about it and say, well, like, that's normal for us at the moment. So we just have to accept it and go with it.
And you, of course, as you mentioned, a psychologist of many years' experience. I'm sure you're pretty familiar with and know a fair bit about and understand the world of emotions and how people respond to different things. And there you are, thrust yourself into the middle of a pretty turbulent time. What were you sort of feeling and thinking about how you were feeling?
I wasn't thinking anything. I just thought, well, regardless of everything I know, that's it. It doesn't matter. I don't care about any theories. I'm just going to embrace this grief, experience it, and go with it. Because I didn't want to be stuck in any sort of anger, because I thought, I can't get angry. What's the point? He's not coming back. The other thing is, it wasn't going to help me. And I wasn't going to ask why me, or why did it happen to me, because I wasn't going to get any answers. And again, it wasn't going to be helpful. Now, one of the things is that really stuck to me when I found out the news is that Mick always said to me, when your number's up, your number's up. It's time to go. You don't have a choice in those things. And he would say, the world doesn't stop out there. You've got to keep going. It won't stop for you. And so if you don't keep going, you fall behind. So that always stuck in my mind.
His voice saying that.
That's right. They were his beliefs.
So you, in a sense, you were letting your grief reveal itself to you. Yeah? It was kind of emerging and you were letting it manifest in whatever way it would.
That's right. I opened myself up to it. I was going to go totally experience it and see what it was like. I thought, that's the best way. There's no way to you just have to let it come and you just deal with things as they happen. So deal with the emotions, manage them, allow yourself to really cry and fall into a heap. And then you end up feeling a bit better to pick yourself up. Anything that needed to be dealt with, I just thought, when it happens, I'll deal with it. But I would deal with it as best as I could.
There have been so many theories about grief and how it's experienced by people. You've got your, you know, your stages of grief, your denial and your anger and all the rest of it. How did your grief manifest itself to you? How did it feel? What happened inside you after Mick died?
I never felt angry. Yes, I was shocked with it all happening. There were periods of ups and downs, but at the same time, while feeling that and all those emotions, there was that other side of me where it was logical of, okay, I need to do this. I need to work this out. And it's not as if I could really work it out in my head. I would just write everything down. So then I would work it out on a piece of paper and then just tick things off of anything that we needed to do or I needed to do or what would be best. And what it comes down to, you end up talking a lot to your children because you don't have your partner there, you don't have your husband there. And in a sense, they become adults and you think, oh, no, I shouldn't be telling them all this. It's like, why am I discussing it with them? But in a sense, I think that made them feel a bit more secure because they knew then where we were headed and what we were going to do and gave them some answers about our future.
I'm talking to Olga Laval, who is a clinical psychologist who has written about her experiences of losing her husband, Mick, very suddenly and how she dealt with the grief that she experienced afterwards. Olga, you chose to write a book, which I've read. It's really quite practical. It's very clear. Were you hoping to write a book that would actually really help people and guide them through this really complicated and terrible time?
Yes, that was my aim. I just sort of thought after the years, I thought, oh, I managed, I think, that grief as best as I could. I was happy with it. I was happy with what I did or decided to do and chose. I wrote it to be able to help other widows to know that they can navigate through grief. And while you'll always live with grief, it's always there, but the intensity of the emotions can decrease. Yes, they sometimes come back, but you learn to live with grief. You learn to adjust to living without your husband, your spouse, your partner, and it's all a big adjustment. And one of the things is to manage it was to always just take one small step forward, to move forward. You never forget them. But you need to move forward so that you can set goals for yourself and find some happiness for yourself. You'll always have that grief. You'll always have sadness. You end up living with happiness and sadness at the one time.
Experience the grief, but don't let it overwhelm you. Yeah, is that kind of the take-home message?
It will overwhelm you at times, but when it does, that's when you just have to totally stop. You have to just stop and sit there with your emotions. Feel the emotions and then just take a step back and then start dealing with what you need to deal with.
Take the time, take the space.
Don't rush. There's no timeline, there's no time frame, and there's no right or wrong with grief. And that a lot of the emotions and feelings, they're all normal given the circumstances, even your thoughts about, oh no, what am I going to do? Or is this right or is this wrong? But there is no right or wrong.
You do, though, having said that, give a little bit of advice to other people about what are maybe not the best things to say to someone who's experiencing grief as well, in terms of telling people that time will heal or this person is in a better place. Some of those platitudes might not necessarily be things that help all that much.
No, they don't. They don't. Because at that time, saying he's in a better place, well, at that time, the widow just wants her husband back. And she's still trying to process everything, you know, and they don't really know he's in a better place. Could be, but not everybody wants to hear that. And time will heal. Time heals, but you don't totally heal. So then you have to choose what you want to do. You know, I've got my kids that, you know, I wanted to show them that this is what life throws at us. And so we have to deal with it the best as we can. Because I said, you never know what's going to happen in life. And if they can learn that, you know, things will happen and there's ways to deal with things, or, you know, yes, you grieve, or yes, you're allowed to experience emotions, that also you just have to deal with things. You have to keep going.
It's not something you can run away from, is it? If people have been through something like this, lost a loved one, how can they get access to your book and your wisdom, having been through it yourself?
Well, my book will be out, I'm hoping, in about 6 weeks. We're in the final stages of that. I also have a support group on Facebook for widows, and it's a closed book, and it's called Dr. Olga's Widow's Guide to Grief. And so that's for women to be able to join so that I can support them, give them strategies in the group, and to help them. So that's something that I felt important, that I could help other women as well. Because some people just feel stuck and everything's so negative.
Olga, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.